Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and today we'll continue in the Book of Tehillim with Mizmor 15, the Mizmor Tesvav. This Mizmor explains who is worthy of partnering with God. And in this Mizmor, we don't focus on what we want from God, rather what God wants from us. With its 11 clear directives for action, this introspective song serves as a practical guide for all of us who are looking to grow. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, here we go. Mizmor LeDavid, it's a song by David. Hashem, mi yagur ba'ahalecha, mi yishkon b'har kadshecha. God, who may sojourn in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy mountain? The Mitzvah David explains that your tent is referring to the Beis Hamikdash, which was on the holy mountain of Har HaMoriah. It's very possible that David was preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash, and as he's preparing, he ponders, who is worthy to come into this holy place? It could also have been sung by generations of people who did have the Beis HaMikdash, and on their way to going to the Beis HaMikdash, they asked themselves, what makes a person worthy of coming into this Beis HaMikdash on Har HaMoriah? It's a perfect question for us now as we plan to prepare to go to the Beis HaMikdash very soon. We daven for it. Are we worthy of it? These psukim give us the criteria of being worthy. Now let's look at this further. Rabbi Hirsch explains the difference between the language of gur, which is sojourn, mi yagur, who will sojourn in your tent, and who will Shachen, Yishkon, a more permanent type of dwelling on the holy mountain. So what's the difference between these two parts of the verse? When we go into the Ohel, he says, the Beis HaMikdash, the goal, we're only there temporarily. The Har Kadsho, the mountain of His Holiness, represents the entire city of God, or really all of the Holy Land. And the goal is to receive the shot of elevated spirituality in the Beis HaMikdash, in the tent, and then take back the inspiration so that it will permanently influence our homes wherever they are. So that wherever we will be in the Har Kadsho. It will be the mountain of holiness. So think about it like this. Sometimes we experience deep spiritual moments, like Beis HaMikdash moments. But can we make these moments a regular part of our lives? That's the question. How do we hold on to those spiritual moments? So this Tehillim asks us, are we worthy of these spiritual moments and are we able to hold on to them? The Gemara in Makos 24a, which we will reference a number of times in this chapter, in this Mizmor, it explains that David condensed all the 613 mitzvos into these 11 behaviors, meaning that if a person follows these principles, then he will be able to fulfill the 613 mitzvos easily. The Meiri comments on the Gemara there, anyone who wants to fully complete himself should hold on to these principles. And these principles are based in thought, speech, and action. And now let's begin the list of the principal behaviors that will keep us elevated. And we love making lists, so let's try this one. Beginning Pasuk Beis, verse 2, principle 1. Holech tamim, he walks in perfect innocence. Walking innocently means moving towards what God wants us to do. Why? Because this is what God wants us to do. That's the innocence. Notice the language of walking. We're always moving forward. It doesn't say he who is perfect. Rather, he who walks in perfect innocence walks towards perfection, meaning our goal isn't to be perfect, but it is to perfect. Principle 2, ufoel tzedek, he does righteousness with others. Very simply, he's a kind person. The Gemara in Makos explains that he acts with righteousness to others, which includes how we deal with our employers and employees. And the Gemara brings down a story of Rabbi Chilkiah, who was working for a farmer when some great Torah scholars stopped him to ask him to pray for rain. At that time, there was a terrible drought and they really needed him. Rabbi Hilkiah did not even pick up his head to talk to them. So at the end of the day, they came back to him when he was finished working and they asked, why did you refuse to talk to us? And he said, as long as he was being paid for working at this farm, that is what he had to do. That's Poel Tzedek. V'dover emes bilvavo, principle 3, and speaks truth from his heart. Not only does he outwardly speak truth, but inwardly he thinks truthfully as well. He's a very sincere person. And the Radak explains that if we had a thought to do something in our heart, even if we didn't articulate it, we still do it. And he learns this from the Gemara in Makos 24a, which tells the story of a customer who came to Rav Safra, and Rav Safra was in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and this customer wanted to buy an item from him. And the customer offered an amount, and Rav Safra did not answer. So he thought that Rav Safra wasn't going to accept that price, so he kept raising the price until it was quite a nice offer. At that time, Rav Safra finished praying and landed up selling it to him at the original price that the buyer offered, because that was the price that Rav Safra had thought was acceptable in his mind when he first heard it. And so since in his mind he had agreed to it, that's what he took at the end. Not only do we have to speak truthfully and do business truthfully, but our actions have to be truthful as well. Rav Chaim Friedlander in the Sifsei Chaim explains that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, the people kept mitzvos, but they did it mechanically. Their observance was really external, and the external service that they were doing caused the external edifice, the Beis HaMikdash, to be destroyed. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, principle 4. Lo ragal al lishono, no slander on his tongue. We are obligated to speak truthfully, but that doesn't mean that we must say every single truth. Sometimes it's better to hold back if speaking it would cause harm or slander someone. In other words, be careful not to speak negatively of others. Principle 5. Lo asa l're'ehu ra'ah. He does not do evil to his neighbor. The Gemara in Makos explains that one can't bring bad upon another, even if the other has harmed him. And the Gemara uses the example of Yosef in Egypt, because although his brothers did do wrong to him, he didn't pay them back. The Radak explains that one shouldn't try to destroy someone else's business or cause someone to lose money in any manner. Principle 6. V'cherpa lo nasa al krovo, nor does he cast disgrace upon his close one, even if they have done so to him. I put that in parentheses. Be careful not to embarrass or put down others, either individuals or even groups of people. Rav Hirsch adds that this also includes that one shouldn't tolerate others putting an aspersion on someone else. The Ibn Ezra focuses on the concept of close ones as relatives. And he says that someone who acts improperly embarrasses his relatives. And so one has to be very aware of his actions and how they will affect those who are closest to him. The Rivan, in his commentary on the Gemara in Makos, explaining this pasuk, says that a person never has to bear the responsibility of the shame of his relatives, for he always has done the best he can to help them. We're commanded to give charity to our flesh, meaning our family. And this person always acts with family first, and he will do whatever he can to take care of his family so that they won't feel shame. Alternatively, Rashi explains this, that if a relative does something wrong, someone very close to us, we shouldn't protect him or cover up his wrongdoing, literally by carrying his disgrace. V'cherpa lo nasa. He didn't carry his disgrace, like to cover his disgrace. Because if we protect someone who's very close to us, then others see that we didn't allow justice to be served. Pasuk Dalet, principle 7. Nivze be'enav nim'as. in his eyes, a contemptible person is repulsive. Meaning, he recognizes a person who is acting badly and is not taken in by how popular they are or how successful they are or how much we need them. If they're contemptible, he's very aware of that. The Gemara in Makos gives an example of the righteous King Chizkiyahu, who degraded his father Ahaz after Ahaz died because Ahaz was an idol worshiper. Alternatively, the Radak understands this verse as referring to himself, meaning he is low in his eyes because even though he is a person who walks in purity with God, he feels that he isn't doing even 1/1000th of what he should be doing. And therefore, he looks at himself as, I could always be doing better. Principle 8. Ve'es yirei Hashem yechabed. But those who fear God, he honors. He looks with respect at those who are God-fearing, even if others don't. Even though he himself is a great person, he respects those who he sees as God-fearing people. He looks to find role models, and he knows how to find the right ones. The Gemara in Makos gives an example of King Yehoshaphat, who would stand up from his throne when he saw a Torah scholar, and he would embrace him and call him my master. Principle 9. Nishba lahara v'lo yamir. He swears and keeps his word, even to his detriment. We make promises to others, and even if we see later that it was harder than we expected, meaning to his detriment, we still need to follow through. Like, for example, we agree to do a chesed, and then when it isn't so easy to do and we want to backtrack, we don't. When he said, like, for example, when someone says, I'll be there, he'll be there, even if it wasn't so easy to get there at the end. Certainly, if it's not to our detriment, if we swear something, we have to keep our word. If we say we're going to call, we need to call. If we say we're going to come, we need to come. Now, the Radak explains this pasuk, this principle, based on the Gemara, that there are times that we make resolutions for ourselves. We set goals and boundaries regarding our eating or other pleasures that we may deny ourselves and then realize it isn't so easy, but we still have to bring them to completion. And this probably is the same thing with commitments we make to exercise as well, even though that's not what the Radak says. It doesn't say that you have to make the commitment. The pasuk does not say we need to swear, but if we do make the commitment, we need to have the self-control to follow through, even if those commitments are just about ourselves. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, principle number 10. Kaspo lo nasan b'neshech. He doesn't lend money with interest. Lending money without interest is the greatest form of tzedakah. And let's look beyond the actual lending of money, because we're going to get into two complicated halachic discussions that are not for now and not for me. When he gives to others, he doesn't do it for any self-serving interests. He doesn't expect anything in return, even acknowledgement. Lastly, principle 11, v'shochad al naki lo lakach, and he does not take a bribe for an innocent person. So it doesn't just mean that he doesn't take a bribe against an innocent person. It means that even if he knows the person is innocent and he would have judged him for innocence, they give him a present, so he took it. Why not? A judge who takes a bribe, even if he knows whether the defendant is innocent or guilty and would rule that way anyway, is taking advantage of his position and others' vulnerability. One who is in a position of judgment cannot do anything that in some way may influence his judgment. That is how careful we have to be when we are in a position where we make decisions regarding others. And now we finish the principles, and we think, and sometimes we think, that nice guys finish last, but that is not true. Look how this song ends. Osei ele lo yimot leolam. One who does these things will not stumble forever. If we conduct ourselves according to these 11 principles, we won't falter spiritually, and we will maintain a home, a mountain of holiness. We so want to prepare for Mashiach. This is one way that we can really prepare for Mashiach, making ourselves worthy of being in the Beis HaMikdash, being on the Holy Mountain. Notice that most of these principles deal with others, but the way we deal with others indicates the way we feel God in our lives. We can't have a home that's holy if our integrity with others is lacking. Rashi points out that it doesn't say one who does all these things, rather it says one who does these things, because we all make mistakes and we're not perfect. So one might make mistakes some of the time. But if one follows the above advice and at times makes mistakes, they will only get off track temporarily and will be able to get back to a place of maintaining holiness. The Radak explains that we will not stumble forever, lo yimot la'olam, means that these behaviors will bring us to an honorable place, not only in this world, but in olam haba, in the world to come. The Medrash Shochar Tov explains that these aren't just expectations of us. These are also descriptions of how God acts towards us. The more we use these principles in our interactions with others, the more we will feel God acting towards us with kindness and truth in the present. Therefore, even though maintaining these principles will bring us glory in the world to come, it also helps us to achieve a deep sense of closeness to God while we are here on earth. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmot, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of Sherit HaPleita in World War II. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational until today. From their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.